Now we're holding on men bays, omud bays, five lines from the bottom. We're continuing to talk about tchelas. So till now we've been talking about tzitzis in general. Now we're going to be talking about certain dinim, about tchelas specifically, some of which we did already. Tana Rabban, tchelas ein la bedika. Tchelas cannot be checked. Now Rashi has two explanations on that. One is that it means that a regular person would not be able to check and be able to tell the difference between tcheles and kol ilan. Well, at least that's what we rather, not two explanations, but rather that's what the Gemara understands initially. The Gemara understands initially that the expression tcheles ein labedika means there's no physical tests that we can do to test whether tcheles is a genuine article about. We're going to see soon in the Gemara it has a different meaning. And you can buy it, therefore, only from a mumcha, only from an expert, meaning somebody who is known to be somebody who's known to be expert on the topic. So if we assume that it means that you can't tell the difference between tchelas and kol ilan, that it would mean you have to dafka buy it from an expert, someone who knows that you can't use kol ilan. Tosfos points out, it would be one thing, let's say, for example, you found tzitzis strings in the street that were dyed tchelas, there's good reason to assume that it's tchelas, because they wouldn't have been, if they were kol ilan, they wouldn't have been made in the form of tzitzis strings, but here we're talking about that you buy them from somebody, he himself may have dyed them, and he himself may not be familiar with the difference between kol ilan and tchelas. An interesting thing, by the way, as a side point, it's brought in Kabbalah. The word we hear all this time, we've been talking about the last couple of days about kola ilan, which is indigo, which is very similar to tchelas. The word kola, kuf lamed aleph, is the same gematria as the name of the malach, the samach mem aleph lamed. We generally don't say out names of malachim, but in the case, samach mem aleph lamed, which is the malach of Esav and identified with the malach of Mavis, whatever, is the same gematria, 131, so therefore, or that's a reason, I'll be Kabbalah, why to be so careful about this business of not allowing Kola Ilan to intrude where there's supposed to be Tchelas instead. continues the Braisa, Tefillin Yesh Lahem Bedika, Tefillin can be checked, it is possible to check whether they were written with the proper Chaseiris V'Yaseiris, the letters that are missing and added with Vavs and Yuds and things like that, where they're supposed to be. Nevertheless, V'en Nikoch and Elam and Amumcha, nevertheless, they can be bought only from a Mumcha, only from someone who you can guarantee is going to be knows the halachas, because in particular Rashi explains the parchment for the tefillin has to be tanned l'shma. So the parchment has to be tanned l'shma, and therefore you need to make sure you're buying them from somebody who knows that concept. And after all, there wouldn't be a physical way to tell whether it was l'shma or not. So therefore you need to buy it from a mumcha. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, Sfarim and Mezuzas, Yesh Lahem Bedika, Sfarim and Mezuzas also, as far as Chaseiris V'Yaseiris, it's possible to check whether they're accurate. V'nikoch and V'kolodam, those don't need, the leather, the parchment doesn't have to be tan l'shma, and therefore you can buy them from anyone. So Rashi says, in other words, that exactly that, this is the parchment for Sefer Torah, or for Mezuzas, does not have to be tan l'shma. Tosfos brings over here from the Rambam, this is, as far as I know, the only place in all of Tosfos where they quote the Rambam that says the same thing, that says, at least as far as a mezuzah, that he learns that a mezuzah, the parchment, doesn't have to be tan l'shma, and he didn't specify where he got it from. Tosfos says maybe from our Gemara. However, Tosfos discusses there are other Gemaras that imply that at least the parchment for a Sefer Torah does require to be tan l'shma, so Tosfos says maybe Sfarim over here doesn't mean Sefer Torah, but rather other Sfarim, other books of Tanakh. Tosfos anyway gives a whole different explanation, says that what it means is tefillin, and tefillin, you could check them in the sense that you could find out whether they have missing or extra letters in places where they're not supposed to, but you still shouldn't buy from anyone because it would be a gnai, it would be an embarrassment, it would be a degradation of the tefillin to have to open them up to check. So therefore, better we should buy them from a mumcha, and that way, at least we have to begin with a cheskes kashrus. Eventually, you're going to have to open up to examine them, But at least at the beginning, you won't need to. But rather, Tosfos says, as far as the point that the parchment has to be tanned and processed l'shma, that anybody who writes tefillin is familiar with that concept, and therefore you don't have to worry about that. And Tosfos goes on and discusses various details about that point. In fact, Tosfos also gets into the question, how often do tefillin need to be checked? In principle, as strict halacha, you don't need, Tosfos brings actually from Mechilta that you need to check, that Bishilol says you need to check them once a year, and Bishama says you don't need to check them at all. And in fact, Shammai used to say, these are the tefillin from my grandfather, and the implication was he had never opened them to check. Tosfos says that still, it brings from Shemusha Rabba, a sefer from one of the goyim, that you should check them twice every 7 years. That's the accepted halacha. In principle, tefillin don't ever have to be checked as long as the outer bias is intact. Nevertheless, the strong minhag is to check them twice every 7 years, and of course, you have chassidim v'anshei ma'is to have the minhag to check them every year in Elul time. So that's the difference. In other words, the tchelas, because there's no way of telling whether on the face of it, whether it's kol ilan or tchelas, is on the face of it what the b'raisa means. Therefore, you can buy it only from a mumcha who knows that kol ilan is osur, as opposed to tefillin and sifrei Torah and mezuzas have other rules. So the Gemara asks, or tchelas ein labdika? You're telling me there's no physical test that we can do to tell whether a guy is tchelas or not? V'horab Yitzchok, b'reidir of Yehuda, bodik law. Rabbi Yitzchok, but Rabbi Yehuda had a test that he could do to tell whether something is dyed with tchelas or with kala ilan. And the Gemara says, simen begeshem, the simen for the four ingredients that he used for the purpose, the simen for them is the word begeshem. Not the initials, a lot of times the Gemara will use a middle word of a letter as part of the simen, but that's how it is. It spells out the word begeshem. Reb David Pardo, when he talks about this point that kola is gematria, the name of the samach mem, he points out that the word begeshem is also the same gematria as the word bishvil, which means, in other words, like Hashem, so to speak, makes a path through in order that we can get through to Kedusha and not have to be tangled up in the tumah of kola ilan. Anyway, so what did Rabbi Yitzchok B'Reidir of Yehuda use? Maisi Magbia Gila. He would take Magbia Gila. Rashi translates it as alum, which is a mineral that contains aluminum and sodium and whatever else. The Rambam has a different understanding. Gila in the Gemara usually means a straw, so the Rambam explains that it means straw. Umaya de Shablulissa, then he would take the juice of Shablulissa. Rashi explains that this is juice that comes from fenugreek. Fenugreek is a spice, it's also called chilba, they use it a lot in Yemenite cooking, it's mentioned in various places throughout Shas. So he would take the juice of the liquid that comes out of it. According to Rambam, the word, given that the word Shablulissa also means a snail, so the Rambam explains that it means the stuff that exudes from a snail. Anyway, so those are the first two ingredients. The third one is a memer aglayim ben aboyim yoin. So there's three ingredients, actually, not four. Magbia gila itself has two words in it, so that forms the beis and the gimel of the simen. And then maya de shablulissa forms the shin, and memer aglayim is the men. So memer aglayim ben aboyim yoin, and urine that of 40 days. Rashi gives two explanations, one that it means a baby 40 days old, and the other one that's 40 days since it was emitted from the body. Anyway, so you take all those ingredients. You take a sample that you're not sure if it was dyed with tchelas or with kala ilan, and you soak it in there from nighttime until the morning, so for 12 hours. Now, you see afterwards what happened to the color. If the color comes apart, meaning, in other words, the color is now duller, psula, then you know it's possible because then that's kala ilan. If the color does not change and it still stays just the same intense color, kshera, then it's kosher. Now, the Gemara continues, Rab Ada said the following in the name of Rab Avira, in front of Rabba, added more details. Maisi chamra alkasa desairi, you take chamira alkasa desairi, you take hard or strong sourdough of barley bread, and you take tchelas, you take these strings that you're not sure if they're tchelas or kala ilan, and you put them inside the dough and you bake it in there, and you see what happens to the color. If the color becomes stronger, kshera, then it's kosher because that's genuine tchelas. The griyosa, if it becomes weaker, psula, then it's possible because that is kala ilan. The simonach, and he adds a sinon to remember which is which. Shinui sheker, shinui emes. If a person, sometimes a person changes and says something different than the truth, but if he changes things for the worse, then everybody knows that he's bad and that he's a liar. But if he changes things and adds to them and increases to what he said before, for example, let's say you have by Avraham Avinu, he says to the guest, I'm going to give you a little bit of bread, and then he brings them out a whole feast. So when he changes like that for emes, for good, then we know that it's true. So the same way over here, when the tchelas becomes stronger in color, then we know that it's true tchelas. Whereas if it becomes weaker, then it means it's not tchelas, it's kala ilan. In the back of the Gemara, the Nimukhi Agriv has a different understanding of it. He says the Gemara is going to say soon that these two tests go together. If you did the first test and the color weakened, and now you think it's color Elam, then you do the second test involving baking it in the dough and see what happens to the color after that. So therefore he's saying it's like, if you do my tests alone, and it becomes stronger, then you're good. You don't need anything else. Whereas if you did the first color, Shinui Sheker, then you need to do my test as well to see whether there's a Shinui Emes. Okay, in any case, the point is that it is physically possible to test whether something is dyed with tchelas or with kala ilan. So what do you mean, ein lo b'gika? What did the braisa mean on the bottom of the previous amud that there's no way to test it? Incidentally, by the way, I was mentioning yesterday about the different creatures, that there's different opinions, which creature tchelas came from. There is one of them, one of the types of shellfish that they think nowadays that tchelas might have come from, where actually they've done chemical testing and found that the dye from it is chemically indistinguishable from indigo. It really is the exact same molecule. So in that case, on the face of it, these tests in the Gemara shouldn't work. On the other hand, they said that might be an argument against it, because after all Gemara is implying that you can tell them apart by these chemical tests. On the other hand, a counter argument to that is maybe it's not the dye itself is chemically the same, but after all, when you take it out of the creature and you boil it up, you have various other molecules that come along with it from secretions from the animal, and maybe those are enough to make that there's this difference. Okay. Anyway, so what did the Braisa mean when it said Eima Bedika? So the answer is Mayu Eima Bedika Nami Dikarma. You're right. When the Braisa had said that there's no testing, we don't mean there's no physical test of Trelas versus Kolayilin. We mean Ateima. We mean there's still the concern that it may have been dyed for testing purposes, as we learned yesterday, that when it's dyed for testing purposes, it's possible. There's no physical change between one and the other, and therefore that's the concern that might have happened, and therefore you need to buy from a mumcha, somebody who knows that te'ima, that if it was tested, then it's possible. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's explanation is that what it means is, ein l'bedika, don't try to test it in the normal way that you would think of, by dipping some wool into the vat of dye and see if it comes out a good color, because like we learned yesterday, that will pass all the dye in the vat. Rather, we have to do, like we learned yesterday, you take a little sample of it in an eggshell or some other small container, and you test using that rather than using the whole vat. So the Gemara continues on the subject of Tchelas and on the subject of these tests. Mar Mimashki, Mar, that was his name, from a place called Mashki. I see Tchel to Beshnei de Rabachoy. He one time brought a sample of Tchelas dyed wool in the times of Rabachoy. Rabachoy was one of the early Rabbanan Sivaroi. You have the generations of Amoroyim ending with Ravina and Rav Ashi, and then you have, there was a second Ravina who was a nephew of the first one. He's considered the last of the Amoroyim. After him, there began a short period, depending which historian you ask. It's anywhere between about 100 and 200 years, in which, because they were right after the Gemara was completed, and they were direct or more or less direct Talmidim of Ravina and Rav Ashi, they were still authorized to add certain editorial changes to the Gemara. And you have here and there are pieces that the Rishonim tell us were added by the Rabbanan Sivaroi. So here, Rav Achoy was one of those Udi Rabbanan Sivaroi. So in his times, this Meir from Mashki brought some Tchelas. This is, by the way, this is the last historical record until modern times of anybody using Tchelas. The Medrash Tanchuma, which was finished at least a couple hundred years later, already says that Tchelas in our times has been hidden. Different people have different understandings of what it means. Doesn't mean it was hidden specifically min hashamayim, like the Chachamim were told by Ruach HaKodesh or something to hide it away, or is it just as a practical matter because of political changes and all in Eretz Yisrael or who knows what, it became impossible to produce Tchelas anymore. We do find at times where the Romans interfered with it, so there's various possibilities. Anyway, so in Rav Achoy's times, this Meir from Mashki brought some Tchelas for sale. But Kur b'Rav Yitzchok b'Rei Rav Yehuda, so they used Rav Yitzchok b'Rei Rav Yehuda's test on it, with mixing together those three ingredients and then soaking in it. The Ifrad Chazuse, and sure enough, the color faded, so then they figured that there must be Kol Elam. But then, they tested it using Rav Ada's method, baking it inside the barley bread, the Ishtanoi Lamal Yusa, and it changed back and became a stronger color. Sogra the Mitzvah, so they thought it must be possible. It can't be Tchelus, otherwise it wouldn't have faded in the first place. Rabbi Choy says to them, Ella, holo Tchelta, hevelo kol ilan. Well, then what is this? It's not Tchelus, it's not kol ilan, apparently, because if it was Tchelus, it wouldn't have faded in the first place, but if it was kol ilan, it wouldn't have gotten back its color by being baked inside the bread. Ella says Rabbi Choy to them, Shmamina Shmuasa Ahadori Itmar. It must be that these two statements of Rabbi Yitzchak Bnei Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Ada were both said together, meaning in other words that you may have to do both. You do the first one. If it stays strong in color, then no further test is needed. But Hecha de Bedakna bid Rabbi Yitzchak Bnei Rabbi Yehuda. If we tested it using Rabbi Yitzchak Bnei Rabbi Yehuda's method, Loi Ifrat. So if we tested it with his method, Loi Ifrat Chazuse, and the color didn't fade, then good. We don't need anything else. Kosher, then it's kosher, and no further test is needed. But if the color weakens, but kinema bid Rav Ada, then we have to check it using Rav Ada's test. Bachamira erkasa, using that hard or strong sourdough or barley, and then we can see ishtin lemal yusuf cheira, and then if it changes and becomes a stronger color, then it's kosher. Legriosa psula, and then if it stays the same weak color or it becomes weaker psula, then we know that's kola ilan. So in other words, the fact that you went through both tests and it regained its color and it's just as strong as before shows that after all it is tchelus. Why did it weaken the first time? Okay, it happens, but that doesn't mean it's possible. Well, indeed, the Gemara says Shochem Itam. They sent a message from Neir, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, confirming what Rabbi Chori had said. Shmuasa Hadadi Itmar. As a matter of fact, yes, these two statements of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda and Rabbi Ada were both said together, meaning that they both go together. If you do the first test and it fails, then you try the second test and see if it passes the second one. The Gemara continues. Rabmani Dayek Vizovin Kechumre Masniyosa. Rabmani would be particular when he's buying from a mumcha to follow the chumras of the brisas that we said before. Rashi explains this that we said that you have to buy from a mumcha. And because he may not know that ta'ima, he may not know that dying for samples is possible. So he would be careful to buy from a mumcha like that. Omalei Ahusava, and a certain elder, Talmud Chacham, tells him, Tosfos mentions elsewhere the possibility that Ahusava means Eliyahu HaNavi, Chochi Ovud Kamori Dikamach. You should know, the previous ones, the generations before you, did just that, but Atzvach Hiskayhu, and their business was successful. So in other words, you're doing the right thing. Now the point is, in other words, before we said you have to buy from a mumcha, so what's the chiddush? The point is, in other words, there are cases. Mefoshim explained that when we said you have to buy davka from a mumcha, that would mean specifically when the mumcha himself was the one who dyed it. So then we don't know whether he knows that dyeing as samples is possible. But if he tells us that he bought it from somebody else, then already we can assume in general that he's buying from somebody himself who knew, and therefore we could buy it. Nevertheless, Rabmani was machmer on himself to make sure that even if the guy is saying, I bought it from somebody else, even though in principle he could have bought it from anybody, nevertheless, even in that case, he was careful to buy only from a mumcha, and Ahusava praises him for that. On the other hand, the Mukha Yosef gives a whole different explanation. He says that when we say Ramani died for Zovin, doesn't mean like Rashi says that he bought from a mumcha. It means Ramani was selling tzitzis. So Ramani was selling tzitzis. He would buy the dye and then dye it himself, Lushma. So the question is it kola ilan or is it tchelus? So he could have used the test that we said to tell which is which. Nevertheless, he didn't want to rely on these tests. He was making sure to buy his dye dafka from mumchin. As the braisas had said, that you have the concerns of shaloi l'shma and then kola ilan and all that. So in other words, by Ramani, the question is not whether he's doing l'shma. Of course, he being a Talmud Chacham is going to know the din that has to be l'shma, but he was, and even though in principle he could buy to die from anyone, and if he really needs to, he'll do these chemical tests, but he wasn't samech on that. He made sure to buy only from a mumcha. And then the idea is, Karen Ora adds, The Gemara tells us in Tzachim that usually people who sell things of mitzvahs, people who sell tefillin, mezuzahs, tzitzis, or whatever, usually they don't see a siman bracha from their unings, because they're usually not doing it l'shem shamayim. But if a person is doing it l'shem shamayim, then he does see a bracha in it. So now this elder Talmud Chacham is telling him the fact that you're doing it this way, and you're willing to pay the extra amount to buy from a mumcha, means that you're doing l'shem shamayim, and therefore you should know, Uli, your generations did that, and they were blessed in their nechasim, you will merit the same bracha as well. Okay. In this connection, the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Halakeach talis mitzuyetzis min ashuk. If a person buys a talis with tzitzis on it already in the marketplace, mi Yisrael, if he buys it from a yid, harei b'chaskasa, then it retains its chazaka, and we can assume that it's kosher. Because again, when the seller himself dyed it, then we have concern that does he know that samples are posel? Does he know that this is tcheles and not kol ilan? But when you buy from somebody who himself bought from somebody else, then in general we can assume that it's kosher and therefore you're allowed to wear it. Mina obit gechavim, if you buy it from a goy, so it depends. Mina tagger, if you're buying it from a goyish merchant, kshader, then it's also kosher. Because who did this goy buy it from? Probably from a yid. We're going to say in a second, you're not supposed to sell a beggar with tzitzis on it to a goy, but nevertheless, suppose somebody did, and now this goyish, merchant has it. The point is, the merchant is not going to want to ruin his good name, so if he sells you something substandard, something that's called ilan or whatever, or something that was dyed shalei lishma, and you find out, and you're going to give him bad reviews, so he doesn't want that, and therefore he wants to keep his good name, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that even let's say he doesn't usually sell talisim. Let's say one time he happens to get a hold of one. Mele, if he has a regular business selling them, of course he wants to keep his good name because he wants people to buy talisim from him in the future. What about if he doesn't? What about if this is a one-off? Nevertheless, if you find that he's not trustworthy on one thing, then you're not going to trust him on other things either. And he, being a tagger, being a merchant, he wants to keep his good business name, his good reputation. But if you buy from an ordinary person, psula, then it would be possible because then you don't know he may have dyed it himself, shalei l'shem mitzvah. Even the white strings in the Mukha Yosef points out he may have spun them, shalei l'shem mitzvah, and he may have actually tied them to the beged, and we learned before that goy tying tzitzis to a beged is possible, so the post can point out a variety of reasons why you can't buy from a head yet, why there's a concern that the tzitzis may be possible. Now, the Afa Pisha Omru, you should know, though, it is true that the Chachamim said, Ein Odom Nashoi Limkor Talus Mitzu Yesus, for the Chachamim, a person is not really allowed to sell a talus with tzitzis on it to a goy, actually Yatu Tzitzi Yeseha, unless he unties the tzitzis. So it is true you're not supposed to. So then you could argue that in that case, it should be b'chlal also to buy tzitzis from a goy, because what is he doing in possession of that? Nevertheless, we can still say that maybe a yid sold it to him to Isser. Now, my timer, why is that? What's wrong with selling a talus with tzitzis to a goy? So the Gemara says, Hocha Targimu, Hiu, in Bava, they explain, Mishum Zoyna. The reason is because of the concern about a Zoyna. Rashi explains, what if there's a Jewish Zoyna in town? Now, she sees a customer come, a prospective customer come in, wearing tzitzis, she's going to think that he's a yid. Meanwhile, so she's going to figure in that case, and I can go ahead and then he can hire me for and then we can have relations. Meanwhile, then she's over. Rashi says, "I'm loisis chatin bum." The fact that you're not allowed to marry and have relations with goyim, strictly speaking, before we should point out, it's not really loisis chatin. Loisis chatin would refer to marrying. Here, they're not marrying; they're committing zinus. But nevertheless, in other words, she may think that he's a yid and go ahead with it. Rashi's second explanation is we're talking about a goyish zayna, a yid. And what may happen is a goyish customer of hers may own a talus with tzitzis, and he'll give it to her as her fee and claim that it comes from a yid, and then that yid is going to be, he's going to name some yid that he supposedly bought it from, and then that yid is going to come under suspicion of having consorted with this goyish zoyna. So two different explanations of what the problem is. So that's why you're not supposed to sell it. That's one reason why not to sell it to a goy. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Rabbi Yehuda says a different reason. Shemi Slava Imen Baderach, because again, a goy wearing tzitzis, another person is going to see him, think that he's a yid. Another yid may go together to whether they're accompanying each other on the road, thinking that they're two Jews. We may as well travel together. V'yahu, and then the goy is going to kill them because we find in different places in Shas, notably in the Sechta Avodah Zarah, that goyim back then were choshed on they might kill a Jew anytime they have an opportunity to when they're alone on the road. The post can discuss how much of that din applies nowadays where we live in countries with functioning legal systems and a goy is generally going to be afraid to kill a yid because he knows he's going to face justice. So does the same din apply? So the post can discuss that back and forth. In any case, though, that's another reason why not to sell a talis with tzitzis to a goy. The post can talk about what about if you're not selling it to him? What about, for example, you're giving it to him as a pikodin? So then the difference is if it's a matter of zoyna, then there's not going to do that. He's not going to give it to his zoyna because it doesn't belong to him. And he knows he's going to have to give it back. But if it's a matter of that he may wear it and pretend that he's a yid and then so forth, then that consideration would apply even if you mafked it by him, for example. Okay. More topics on tzitzis. The Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Romi Tchel to the Parzumi de Inshe Desi. Rav Yehuda put tzitzis, tchelas, meaning tzitzis, as a whole, on the garment of the members of his household. The members of his household means his wife. So he put tzitzis on his wife's garment. Because, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he holds that tzitzis is not a mitzvah as a shazman groma. So we know women are potter from mitzvah sesa, shazman groma, but they're chayev than most mitzvah sesa. Well, he held it's not mitzvah sesa, shazman groma, therefore he held women are chayev as well. Varechol safra, and Rabbi Yehuda, every morning when he put on his clothing, he would make with tzitzis on it, he would make the bracha leis atif tzitzis, that Hashem commanded us to wrap ourselves in tzitzis. So an interesting thing about that, by the way, is it comes out from the post can point out the loshen, that's what we were talking about yesterday, the loshen lace after tzitzis suggests that you have to wrap yourself in it. Now, in those times, the normal way of wearing clothing was to wrap your head and most of your body in it. So therefore, that was the obvious way of making it. As styles changed and our garments are not usually wrapped anymore, then the post can started arguing what exactly it means to wrap oneself. Does it mean the body and not necessarily the head? Does it mean the head and the body, and therefore there ended up being different opinions among the poskim, what a person has to do as far as wrapping himself in the talis, and for example, do you have to stay with it wrapped around your head the whole time you're wearing it in order to be mekayim this mitzvah of being wrapped in it? So there's different opinions among the poskim. The accepted halacha is you don't have to be wrapped in it the entire time, but you should wrap your head in it for a distance of 4 amos. For the time it takes to walk a distance of 4 amos, which is what we do. We put on a talis. We put the talis over part of our face. And we put one side of it over the shoulder, or across, over onto the other shoulder, which is called what the poskim call katifas eishma'elim. It's the way that the Arabs wrap themselves in their garments, and then we take it off there. We keep it on our head for the rest of davening, but we don't have it wrapped around ourselves literally. So that way we yotza all the opinions. Okay. So the Gemara says, Midir Rami, since he put tzitzis on his wife's garment, kasava mitzvah sesa shalayazman grama, who evidently Rabbi Yehuda held that tzitzis is not a mitzvah sesa shazman grama. Well, the question is, amayim mevarech, kol safra mitzafra. Well, then why would he make a bracha every morning? If it's a continuous mitzvah, he shouldn't have to be making a bracha every day. He would just make a bracha the first time he puts on a garment that requires tzitzis. He would hold there's no hexic at night. So the answer is that he holds like Rebbe's opinion. Titania, we learn in Braisa, tefillin, kolzman shemenichan, when it comes to tefillin, no matter how many times you put them on during the day, you take them off and put them on, you take them off and put them on, you make a mevorach alein, you would make a new bracha on them, give your Rebbe, that's how Rebbe holds. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda held in the same way. Now, so in other words, Rebbe holds that you make a bracha when you first put them on in the morning, because as we learned a few days ago, Laila lav zman tefillin, nighttime is not the proper time to wear tefillin, so therefore there's a break in the chiyuv at night, and therefore you put them on the next morning, you make a bracha, but then the Rebbe says, even if you take them off and put them on sometime during the day, even though the whole day is a time when you chayiv in tefillin, nevertheless you'd make a new bracha on them. Well, by the same way, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that even though by night it's still a chiyuv of tzitzis, because according to him it's not mitzvah sesa, shazman grama, nevertheless when the next time you put them on, then you're still going to make a bracha on them. The Chum disagree and say that you don't put them on, you don't make a bracha on them again and again, only if there was a hefsek, only if there was hesek hadas. There's quite a bit of discussion what exactly constitutes a hefsek and hesek hadas, going from one house to another, a certain amount of time, having in mind that you're taking them off and not putting them back on and then changing your mind, etc. So in this case, Rabbi Yehuda held then that even though you are chayiv and sit this at night, nevertheless, when you're putting on a garment, then you have to make the bracha. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi kol shayta nami. Well, then why are we making a point that Rabbi Yehuda would only make the bracha every morning during the day also? If he takes off his clothing and then puts it on, then he would have, if he takes off his wrap, his talus, and then puts it back on, he would have to make a new bracha. And the answer is Rabbi Yehuda in a shniyahava, because Rabbi Yehuda was a very tzniyistic person. He wouldn't take off his talus, his wrap, all day. So therefore, he only needs to make a bracha once a day. From here, by the way, the post can point out, and the Mokka Yosef points out, that from this we see you're allowed to go into the bathroom wearing tzitzis. Otherwise, how would Rabbi Yehuda be able to go an entire day without taking off his garment with tzitzis? The Taz points out, and this is an Alta Deva, brings the Sahalocha, that would apply as far as the talus cotton, because since you wear the talus cotton all the time, then you're allowed to wear it into the bathroom as well, just like any other item of clothing. But a talus gadol, or for that matter a gautol, which you wear specifically for davening, those you should not wear into the bathroom. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so then why Davka in the morning? Why would Rabbi Yehuda make the bracha Davka in the morning? On the face of it, he would get up before Alois HaShachar, and he'd get up at Alois HaShachar and he'd be learning Torah, and only then later on would he be putting on his talus, so he should make the bracha, so he should make the bracha when he first puts on his talus. And the answer is kinashani miksus lila luksus yom. When he's changing from his nightwear to his daywear, so when exactly that, when he puts on his daytime clothing, even though it's before the zman, then at that point he would make the at that point, so he would have two with tzitzis. Rashi explains he had one garment with tzitzis for the nighttime and another for the daytime. So now when he put on the daytime one, then he would make the bracha on it. This is, by the way, la halacha, you're not required to wear tzitzis at night, because as the Gemara is going to explain soon, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is tzitzis is a mitzvah sesesh azman groma, and you potter at night. Rabbi Yehuda, as we're saying, held that you chayev at night, therefore he had a garment with tzitzis for the night. The halacha is not like that. Nevertheless, the Arizal said you still should wear tzitzis at night, and that's minhag Chabad, as we do a pair of night tzitzis. Okay. Talking more about this question of women being chayiv in tzitzis, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, hakol chayavim b'tzitzis, everybody is chayiv in tzitzis, koyinim levim yisraelim all chayiv in tzitzis. The Gemara is going to ask in a minute, well, of course, why would we think they're potter? But we'll get to that in a minute. Gerim, regular gerik tzedek, or chayiv in tzitzis, noshim v'avodim, and women, and avodim k'nanim, who are chayiv in the same mitzvahs that women are. Reb Shimon, poter b'noshim, Reb Shimon, on the other hand, said, we just said that Rav Yehuda, the Amora, is one of the ones who holds that, like the Tanakhama over here, that women are chayiv in tzitzis. On the other hand, Reb Shimon, poter b'noshim, Reb Shimon says that women are poter, and avodim as well, mitzvahs tzitzis, mitzvahs esesh, hazman groma, who... Because tzitzis is a mitzvah esesh hazman groma, because it only applies by day. B'chol mitzvah esesh hazman groma nashim v'toras. And we know that all such mitzvahs, women, with a few exceptions, women are potter. Tosfos actually points out an interesting point. We do sometimes have, there are certain mitzvahs esesh hazman groma that women are chayiv in because they go together with a lois esesh. For example, we say zocher v'shomer, where v'shomer v'zocher b'dibur echad. Hashem said, zocher esiyam ha-shavos l'kadshay, which includes the mitzvah of kiddush, and shomer esiyam ha-shavos l'kadshay, which means to observe it and not do malacha. Both of them were said b'dibur echad. Hashem spoke them in one word, which is impossible for a human being to do, and therefore we learn from that there's a connection between them. Anybody who's chayiv in the mitzvah of Shmira is also chayiv in Zechira, and since women are also bound by the loises as of Shabbos, therefore they're chayiv in the esse of Kiddush. Now, on the face of it, the Medrash says the same thing as far as the Yerushalmi says that the same thing. There's a similar connection between shatnez and tzitzis. This, at the same moment that Hashem said, don't wear shatnez, Hashem said, wear tzitzis. Well, then in that case, women are chayiv not to wear shatnez. Shouldn't they be chayiv in tzitzis? The answer is Tosfos says no. There it doesn't mean that they're said together as in anybody who's chayiv in shatnez is chayiv in tzitzis. It just means they don't contradict one another, because as we learned in the last couple of days, you are allowed to wear tzitzis that have shatnez in them, as opposed to zocher v'shomer. chomer, and another example, for example, is chomets and matzah, where there, those two go together. Anybody who's chayiv in one and chayiv in the other, women are chayiv not to do malacha on Shabbos, therefore they're chayiv in Kiddush. Women are chayiv not to eat chomets on Pesach, therefore they're chayiv in eating matzah. So the Gemara said, "Omar, we said in the Braisa, Kol chayiv mitzitzis koinim levim yisraelim. We said that everybody is chayiv in tzitzis." A coin, and we started the list with koinim levim yisraelim. So the Gemara asked Pshita, isn't that obvious? To eat koinim levim yisraelim patuni man lechayev. If you're going to think that they're potter, then who would be chayev? Obviously, they're the ones who are most likely to be chayev. The answer is koinim. It's tzrichalei. The chiddush of the Braisa that it needs to say is that koinim a chayev. Why is that a chiddush? Sakurai de chamina, you would have thought to say, since the pasuk mentioned that you can't wear shatnez, and then the pasuk continues, gdilim kasa l'chay, you should make for yourself fringes on the corners, which is tzitzis, you would think that, now we learned so far, that means that you're allowed to wear kilayim and tzitzis. But you would think also that it means, mandalay ishtri, kilayim l'gabey v'levisha, only those who never have a heter to wear kilayim, who do machayiv b'tzitzis, only those are the ones who are chayiv in tzitzis. So that would be levim and yisraelim. Hani koyanim, but when it comes to the koyanim, hoyov ishri kilayim lagabayu, since they are allowed to wear kilayim, because the big kohuna contain kilayim. In particular, Rashi points out that the avne, the belt of the koyanim, was made of tchelas va'agamon, to say last shani, v'sheish is linen, and the other three tchelas va'agamon, to last shani, are wool dyed various colors, so you have a belt made of wool and linen together, which is shatnez, and nevertheless, the koyanim were allowed to wear it. There is actually a machloikas that not only allowed to, they have a mitzvah to wear it. The Gemara actually has elsewhere a machloikas whether the avnate of the regular koyanim was in fact kilayim or not. There is an opinion that the avnate of regular koyanim was made only of linen, and only the one of the kohen gadol was made out of the multiple ones. Okay, so then according to that, we need the kohen gadol. Then we see is allowed to wear kilayim, and with him you don't need the avnate anyway. You also have the choshen and ephod, also have kilayim in them anyway. So you would have thought that since the Kohenim are allowed to wear Kilayim, Loi L'chayvu, maybe they're not Chayiv in Tzitzis. Maybe the Pasuk is only implying anybody who can't wear Shatnez ever has to wear Tzitzis. But Kohenim sometimes wear Shatnez, therefore they shouldn't have to wear Tzitzis. Kamash Malon, therefore the Braisa is telling us not so, and Kohenim are in fact Chayiv in Tzitzis. Because Nihid Ishtri, the Idan Avoida, it is true they're allowed to wear Kilayim when they're doing the Avoida. But they're not allowed to wear it when they're not doing the avoda, because then they're wearing kilayim and not doing the mitzvah. Tosfos, a couple of blocks earlier, explains that the kohenim are allowed to wear it as not just while they're doing the avoda, but as long as they're in the Beis HaMikdash. But still, they can only wear kilayim. Only the one they can't wear kilayim in their own regular clothes. They can only wear kilayim only in the big nekona. So fine, they're allowed to wear the big nekona as long as they're in the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have to take them off the moment they've done the avoda. But nevertheless, they don't have a general heter to wear kilayim in their regular clothing. So therefore the Braisa is saying that in fact they are in fact chayiv in tzitzis, because after all the mitzvah of shatnez is incumbent on them as well. They can't wear shatnez either, with the exception of the avoda. There's an interesting sikha where the Rebbe talks about why it is that we find certain kinds of kilayim are mutter when it comes to the avoda, and certain not. We don't find, for example, that you're allowed to crossbreed animals for the avoda. We don't find both of the cholov as a kind of kilayim as well, and we don't find that you're allowed to do both of the cholov for the sake of the avoda. It's completely osabana. In fact, so there's a sikha where the Rebbe talks about the distinction between these things, why it is that some of them are mutter and some of them are not. Because in other words, so you have there's differences in what kind of hybrid is being made between these things when you combine them together. Wool and linen, for example, you're not making a hybrid between them. You're sewing them together in the same garment. So it's different than, for example, bas b'chalav or kalai behema, where you're actually making a whole new entity out of both of them. So that was the point of the Braisa saying that koyanim and then are chayiv and tzitzis, and once it mentioned koyanim, then it mentioned levim and yisraelim too. Okay. Then we said Reb Shimon poter benoshim. Reb Shimon says that women are potter. My time with Reb Shimon. So why does Reb Shimon say women are potter? Why does he hold this? A mitzvah says Shazman Groma, the Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa. The pasuk says a re'isem oiser. You should see it. You should see the tzitzis. Pratlok so slaiva. That comes to exclude nighttime clothing, as we learned a couple of days ago. There's a machlokas we're showing him whether that means any beged, if you happen to wear it at night, is potter from tzitzis, which is how the Rambam holds. Or Rabbi Natan learns that it means that a beged that's specifically meant for wearing at night, such as pajamas. But according to Rabbi Natan, if you have a beggar that's normally worn by day and you happen to wear it by night, it would still be chayiv in tzitzis. The Ran says like both opinions. Okay. Anyway, so it excludes nighttime wear. After over pratik suslaila, you're saying reisam oiser, you should see it excludes night clothing. Or ena ela pratik susuma. Maybe on the contrary, maybe it's coming to tell us that the clothing of a blind person is potter from tzitzis. Because he can't see. No, true. I'm asher to chasaba. No, because since the other pasuk about tzitzis says that you have to put tzitzis on the clothing asher to chasaba, that you cover yourself with it. Harik susum amr. So therefore, that includes the clothing of a blind person, because after all, he also wears it. So what does it mean? You should see it. Then it means to exclude nighttime wear. Well, if we have one pasuk that includes and one pasuk that excludes, umara isal rabis ksus summa or lahotzi ksus laila, what makes you say that we should include clothing of a blind person and be machayev and pater nighttime clothing, maybe the other way around? So the answer is, the logic is, you know why we're including clothing of a blind person? Because other people can see it. Fine, he can't see it, but other people can see him wearing it. So therefore it's included in the ura'isa mostly. As opposed to, we exclude nighttime clothing. Nobody's going to see it because it's dark at night. So therefore, there's more reason to say that should be exempted. Okay. So the point is, in other words, Reb Shimon is saying, from Ru'isa Moise, we learn that you're not chayiv in tzitzis at night. Well, that makes it a mitzvah sesa shazman groma. And as is the usual rule, women are potter from mitzvah sesa shazman groma. Well, the Rabbanon, what are the Chachamim answer to that? They say, Hi, Asher Techasabah, my Abdulai. What do they do with those words in the Pasuk, Asher Techasabah, which Reb Shimon is saying, from that you learn that a blind person's clothing is chayiv and tzitzis, and that nighttime clothing is potter? So the answer is, Mibolehu l'chiditanya. They use it to teach us a different din that we learn in the Braisa. The Pasuk says, Al arba kanfes ksuscha. The Pasuk says, you have to make for yourself tzitzis on the four corners of your garment, which, as the pasuk continues, asher techasabah, that you cover yourself with it. So we learn from that, arba v'lo sholosh. From that we learn that it's only, and Rashi points out, the point is, if the Chachamim hold that you have to wear tzitzis even at night, then for sure they would say that tzitzis of a blind person are chayav. You wouldn't even need a separate pasuk for that, because if they would say that even at night, when nobody can see, then you're still chayav in tzitzis, how much more so a blind person where other people can see it? So according to the Chachamim, what are we doing with the words Asher Techasaba? Further on, the Gemara will talk about what they do with Ur Isam Oisei, but first let's deal with what they do with Asher Techasaba. So like this, when the Pasuk says Arba Kanfes Ksusha, you put tzitzis on the four corners of your garment, that means Arba V'loy Sholosh, that's if it has four corners, not if it has only three. So if it has, and that we mean four square off corners, so we don't just mean a triangular piece of clothing, we mean, in other words, it can be square or rectangular, but one corner is rounded. After Omer Arbavle Sholosh, so you're telling me that it means four, not three. Oyenel Arbavle Chomish, maybe not. Maybe it means that if you have a five-cornered garment, it would be potter from tzitzis. Five-cornered could either, again, be, it was made to begin with, pentagonal, or it could mean, for example, as Rashi had mentioned a few blocks ago, that it could mean, for example, you cut out one corner, you cut out a square of one corner, and now you have two corners nearby one another over there. So how do you know that's not potter from tzitzis? No, sure, I'm asher to chasaba. Since the pasuk says that, you cover yourself with it. Hari balas chomish omer, then that includes a garment with five corners, because after all, you do cover with it. You do cover yourself with it. Now, you don't put tzitzis on all five corners. You put tzitzis on four out of the five corners. The pasuk can explain you should put them on the corners that are furthest apart. So for example, in our scenario, you cut out a square of one corner, you wouldn't put tzitzis on both of those newly formed corners, you would put on one of them and not the other, and then you'd put on the other three regular corners. Well, so then what does the pasuk mean when it says four? It means arba v'lo shalosh, means that's the four but not three. Again, umara isa l'arba s'balas chomesh l'hotzi balas shalosh. So we can ask the same question as in the previous Zerusha. Why are we including five and excluding three? If we have a ribui in the pasuk from the word asher t'chaseba and we have a miut from the word arba, what makes us say that three should be potter and five chayev, maybe the other way around? The reason is marba ani balas chomesh. We have more reason to include the five-cornered one, sheyesh b'cha chomesh arba, because five includes four. So it has four corners. So then fine, you put tefillin on, you put tzitzit on four of the five corners. Umoitza, nibala sholosh, as opposed to, we have more reason to exclude a three-cornered garment, sheyesh b'cha sholosh arba, because when you have three, you don't have four. There's no fourth corner over there, and therefore it's more logical that the Torah is excluding it. Well, the point is the chachamim are using the words asher t'chaseba for that jirasha. Well, but Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon answer to that? He agrees with that din. The answer is me'asher nafka. He says you can learn both. You can learn from the fact that it says t'chaseba and from the fact that it says asher, so therefore you can learn two drushes. One, that a blind person's clothing is chayiv and sittis, which again, the chacham don't need a special drusha for that. And the other one to teach us this business about the three versus four versus five corners. But Abbanon, where's the Chum answer back? Asher le mashmal hu, they don't consider Asher to be something extra that you should learn something from in the Pasuk. Reb Shimon is saying, it could have said something like Shetachaseba, the Chum don't consider that significant. The way it says Asher is the normal style of the Pasuk speaking. Tosfos brings a Girsa of Rabbeinu Tam that doesn't say that doesn't have these words in the Gemara that Reb Shimon learns from Asher, because there's a different Gemara that implies that Reb Shimon would say that a five-cornered garment is in fact potter. So Tosfos says apparently there are different Tanoim who disagree what Reb Shimon holds, whether he holds a five-cornered one is obligated in tzitzis, or whether he holds that it is potter, or whether but it's obligated on four of the five corners, or whether he holds that it's possible. Okay, but Rabbanon Hayu Re'isim Oseh Mai Avrilei. Now, we dealt with now what the Chacham do with Asher T'chaseba. Now, the Chachamim who hold that you are Chayiv and Tzitzis at night, and they're not learning from the words of Re'isim Oseh that you should see it, well, then what are they doing with Reb Shimon's Pasuk, Re'isim Oseh, what are they learning from that? And the answer is, they needed to teach us what it says in a different braisa. When the pasuk says, or isem oiser is a chayta, when it says you should see it and should remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem, that means re'ei mitzvah zu, see this mitzvah, see the strings of the tzitzis, or zchor mitzvah acheres atloya boy, and by that you will be reminded of another mitzvah that depends on it. Re'ei zu zu, what other mitzvah depends on it? Zu krishma. That refers to krishma, which you suppose, krishma is called mitzvah Hashem, because we acknowledge the oneness of Hashem, which is the basis for all the other mitzvahs. So therefore, in other words, when you see the tzitzis, then you're also, together with it, you're saying Shema. In fact, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that preferably when you're saying Shema, you should be wearing tzitzis. Otherwise, it's called Meir's Edis Sheker Ba'atzma. If a person is testifying falsely against himself, what do you mean? He's saying in there that there's a mitzvah that he has to fulfill, the mitzvahs of Hashem, and he's not wearing tzitzis. Tosfos points out there is an opinion in Masechta Brachos that says the whole concept of Krishma is only Derabbanan. We usually understand that Daraisa and the Rambam listed among the 613 mitzvahs in yesterday's and today's Shlosha Parakim of Rambam, but the Gemara in Brachos brings an opinion that it's only Derabbanan, so in that case then this pasuk would be an Asmachta. So Ditnan, not so much that you have to be wearing tzitzis during Shema, but rather that the time of Shema depends on tzitzis. Namely, Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Brachos. Ne'emas ha'koron es Shema b'shachris. From what point of the morning can you say, from what point onward can you say Shema in the morning? Mishayakub and Tchelas Lalavan, from when? You can distinguish between Tchelas and white. Now, Tchelas and white are the means of Tchelas strings and the white strings in the tzitzis. Because that's the time, and that was the time when most people got up. Rashi actually explains there in the Mishnah that it means that you have, let's say, you have a tank of wool which was dyed tchelas, but it doesn't always absorb the color fully. Sometimes you have areas that remain white, and you can tell the difference between them. But Tosfos over there points out that it can't be that, or Tosfos over here rather points out that it can't be that, because then the whole point is, we're saying over here, it means to distinguish as far as the strings of tzitzis that you're wearing. So in other words, the implication is you're wearing the tzitzis at the time, and you can tell the difference. There's enough light in the sky to be able to tell the difference between one and the other. It's had nothing to do with a tuft of wool, like Rashi is saying, but rather the actual swings of tzitzis. Tosfos brings from the Aruch that it means, we learned before, that when you have tchelas, some of the windings are done with tchelas, some of them are done with white strings, so that it would be when you're able to tell the difference between one group of windings and another. Okay, so the Chama learning from an Isam Oisai, that point, that when you're able to see the distinction in the tzitzis, that's when you have a mitzvah of Krishna. The Tanya Idach, and we learn in a different braisa, another way of understanding this, Re'isim Oisei is Chartem, means Re'ei Mitzvah Zu, you see this mitzvah of Tzitzis, Oscher Mitzvah, Acheres HaSmuch Allah, and with that, you remember another mitzvah, which is adjacent to it, which is mentioned next day in the Pasuk, the Ezu Zu, Zu Mitzvah Kilayim. And namely, that is the mitzvah of Kilayim, as we've learned many times in the Sugya, Dichtiv, Lo Silva Shatnes, Semer of Fishkim Yachtav. As the Pasuk says, don't wear shatnez, wool and linen together. So therefore, so wearing tzitzis reminds you of that mitzvah not to wear shatnez. And then so the Pasuk continues, gzilim tas alacha, make for yourself fringes. And in that way, then you come to remember all the mitzvahs. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanya Idach, we learn in another braisa, another meaning of Re'isim Oisei is Chayav Temesko Mitzvah Hashem, Kivin Shin is Chayav Odom Mitzvah Zu, once a person becomes Chayav in this mitzvah, Nischayav B'chol Mitzvah Kolon, then he becomes Chayav in all the other mitzvahs. What do we mean by that? V'Reb Shimonhi, this last braisa that we just said is following Reb Shimon, Dama Mitzvah Sesa Shazman Groma, he says, Tzitzis is a mitzvah sesa, shazman groma, and therefore we can talk about once a person is chayev in it. In other words, according to the Chachamim, you can't really talk about once a person is chayev. Well, a person becomes chayev when he becomes, in that, but in all mitzvahs, when he becomes bar mitzvah, and from then, and bas mitzvah according to the Chachamim, because again, women are chayev according to the Chachamim, and they retain that chiyuv for the rest of their life. And there's no reason to single out tzitzis more than any other. But Reb Shimon, who holds that there's a new mitzvah of tzitzis every day, then there are many mitzvahs that can't be done at night. For example, you can't do a bris milah at night. So that's one explanation. Rashi's second explanation is it does indeed mean when he becomes bar mitzvah, but what we mean is, in other words, according to the second explanation, yeah, when he becomes bar mitzvah and he's chayev and tzitzis, and that's generally speaking, and that would be the first mitzvah that he does, Then already he's chayiv in all the other mitzvahs as well. So according to the first explanation of Rashi, this braisa would be davka according to Reb Shimon that he's first chayiv in tzitzis in the morning. According to the second explanation, it's not specifically according to Reb Shimon. Well, according to the second explanation also, it means women are not chayiv in many mitzvahs, so it means once a boy becomes bar mitzvah and is chayiv in all mitzvahs, now he's chayiv, and so he's chayiv in tzitzis, he's chayiv in all mitzvahs, as opposed to women who are not chayiv in many mitzvahs. So according to either explanation, the braisa would, this last braisa would be according to Reb Shimon. Then the Gemara continues, Tanya Idach. Now we have another braisa that explains another angle on Re'isim Oisei. When the Pasuk says Re'isim Oisei, as Schartam is called Mitzvah Hashem, you'll see it and you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. That means Shkula, Mitzvah Zu, connected Kola Mitzvah Kolon. This mitzvah of Tzitzis is equal to all the other mitzvahs. Why is that? So first of all, because we have the explanation Rashi brings over here, which we learned already a few days ago, the famous thing that tzitzis equals 600, and the 8 hanging strings, and the 5 knots equals tauyag, so in that sense it's equal to all the other mitzvahs, because it reminds us of them. The Meshech Chochma also points out the words Kol Mitzvah Hashem equals 612, and tzitzis itself, we're saying, is equal to all of them, there is the 613th mitzvah. So therefore, the mitzvah of tzitzis is equal to all the other mitzvahs combined. V'tanya idach, we learn in yet another braisa, when it says, Re'isim Oisei v'zichartem, we learn from V'asisem, it says you should see it, you should remember, and you should do. Re'iyah mevi'ah l'dei schira, seeing the tzitzis causes us to remember the mitzvahs. O'schira mevi'ah l'dei asiyah, and remembering then motivates a person to actually do the mitzvahs. In fact, Rashi explains there in the Pesukim as well, the very word tzitzis itself is related to the word metzitz, as in peering or staring at, so it means, in other words, you look at the tzitzis, and it reminds you of the mitzvahs, and it motivates you to do them. This is also why, by the way, why did Hashem tell us to put tzitzis on all four corners? Rashi on the pasuk over there gives a reason having to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Shulchan Aruch mentions a point this way: whichever direction you turn, you see the tzitzis. Reb Shimon ben Yechoy says this is the same Reb Shimon as before. A person who is extra careful with this mitzvah of tzitzis, zoicho makabal pnei shechina, will have the schus to greet the face of the shechina. And we know that ksiv hacho reisem oisay, because here the pasuk says you should see oisay. Oisay means it, but it also means him. And it says you should fear Hashem and him you should serve. So the fact that it says reisem oisay rather than put it said, the Siv Ehu, or something like that, teaches us that the Oisai by Tzitzis refers to the Shechina, so if you keep the mitzvah of Tzitzis, then Zoichom Kabel Pnei Shechina. Primarily, we're talking about the Tcheles, because as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the Tcheles resembles the sky, which resembles the sea, which resembles the Kisei HaKavod. So we have a variety of drashas on these words of Isam Oisai, of the importance of the tzitzis and of seeing them. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Tana Rabbanan, Chaviv in Yisrael, how precious are the Jewish people? Shesibavan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzvahs. Hashem surrounded us with mitzvahs. Tefillin b'rashayin or tefillin b'zereisayin. We have tefillin on our head and on our arm. V'tzitzis b'bigdayin. We have tzitzis on our garments. Or mezuzah l'pischayin. And we have a mezuzah on our doors. V'alein Omar David, regarding all these mitzvahs that a person is surrounded by all the time. Omar David says on that, Sheva Bayem Hilalticha, seven every day I praise you, Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha, for your righteous judgments. In other words, the David is praising Hashem for the fact that we have seven things over here. For this purpose, we're counting the four tzitzis as four separate mitzvahs, which was the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that we learned at the end of the previous parak. Chum held us all one mitzvah, but nevertheless, you have four tzitzis, two tefillin and one mezuzah, and therefore, And that's seven. So David is praising Hashem for giving us these seven things that we have constantly. Now, continues the Braisa. Over Shosh and Nichnas, David Labes HaMerchatz. When David one time went into the bathhouse, and he doesn't have tefillin and he doesn't have tzitzis over there. No, you don't have a mezuzah either for that matter, because you don't put a mezuzah on the door of a bathhouse, just like you don't put on the door of a bathroom. V'ro atzmei oimed orum, and he's standing there undressed. Omo, he thinks to himself, oili she'emed orum b'lo mitzvah, woe to me that I'm standing over here undressed without any mitzvah. Meaning I don't have any mitzvah in particular that shows that I serve Hashem. But then, the kivin sheniska b'mila shebemisare, but then he remembered he has a mila on his flesh, which is there constantly. Nisfiash v'daitai, then he felt better. So he felt better because not only, and there's an interesting idea that the Droga Chover brings, which is also brought from, it's based on things from Uriya Sfarim, that Mila is one of those mitzvahs. It's not just you do a one-time thing. It was done when you're 8 days old, and that's that. It's an ongoing, constant thing. As long as you are circumcised, then it means, like, as if, like, every moment you're performing that mitzvah. Therefore, he's very happy that even right now, he has a mitzvah to do. So he was happy. La'achar sheyotza, after he got out of the bathhouse, omar leho shira, he said a shira, he sang to Hashem in gratitude, a shira for the fact that Hashem gave us this mitzvah. Shenema, as the pasuk says, l'amnatzeach ala shminis mizmor l'David, for the conductor, on the shminis, a song by David, ala shminis, in the simple sense, means that he was meant to be played on an instrument with eight strings. But here we understand, ala shminis, al mila shenitna b'shmini, about mila, which was given on the eighth day, and which is the eighth mitzvah that a person has with it, that a person has with him all the time. So the Braisa continues. Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov Aymer, Kol sheyeshlo tefillin b'roishu, tefillin b'zroiv, tzitzis b'bigdor, mezuzah b'pischoi, a person who has all these things, tefillin on his head and arm, and tzitzis on his clothing, and a mezuzah on his door, hakol b'chizuk shelo yechta. It gives him tremendous strength that he shouldn't sin. Obviously, he has doas b'chiru chafshis, but like Hashem, therefore, gives him extra help to be able to overcome his yetzahara. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'achot hamashulah shelo b'mheri yinosek, the threefold, the triple cord, the three braided cord, will not be snapped so quickly. The triple is the tefillin, the tzitzis, and the mezuzah. Va'omer, and you have another pasuk, Chachoyne Malach Hashem, Sovim V'Yireya, the Malach of Hashem camps around his, and camps around those who fear him, Va'yichaltzim, and he rescues them. So that means, in other words, a Malach surrounds and protects a person who has these mitzvahs. So in particular, not just the fact that he does them mechanically, but the fact that he thinks into them. The Rambam phrases it like this: when he has all these things, he has many different things to remember the mitzvahs, and that's when we say that he has malachim. That's what it means. He has these the malachim that the Gemara means metaphorically. He has many different things that remind him of the mitzvahs and that help him stay on the right path and not do avelis. It also includes, as you say in Pirkei Avos, that a person does a mitzvah, then he gains himself a malach. And that's also included in this defending Malach, and that's also included in this that he has Malachim surrounding him and protecting him. And in this connection, the Gemara says, Tanya, Hoyer, Meir, we learn in a Braisa that Meir used to say, Manishan Tchelas Mikom Mine Tzivonin, why is Tchelas singled out from all the other kinds of possible dyes, that we should use Davka that for tzitzis, especially because since it comes from the Chilazin, it's very expensive and very hard to get. So why specifically did Hashem give him that? Did Hashem give us that? And we find, for example, there are other mitzvahs where the Torah makes a point of that Hashem gives us easier things to do. For example, korbanos, it's brought that korbanos are davka from domestic animals, so this way we don't have to have the trouble of going and trapping wild animals. Why here, davka? When it comes to tchelas, did the Torah insist that we use chilazin blood, which is so hard to get? So the reason is because the tchelas resembles the color of the sea, the yam doimel rakia, and in turn the heavens, the sky resemble the sea resembles in color the sky. They're not exactly the same shade, but we want to go gradually. It also Rashi also explains the reason why we put the sea in between is because it also reminds us of the nest that Hashem did by Kriyas Yamsuf. So therefore, Sarah, we first want to be reminded of the sea and only then of the sky. Elsewhere, Rashi gives a different explanation that they are slightly different in shade, and that the shade of the color of Tchelas is actually more similar to that of the sea than it is to the sky. So then that in turn reminds us of the sky, which the Ritva explains, that reminds us of how Hashem, so to speak, bent down the heavens onto Har Sinai to give us the Torah. The Rakia, Jomel Kisah covered, and the Rakia, the heavens resemble in color the Kisah covered, which is described as made out of sapphire. Shenema, as opposed to this, the Sachas Raglav, under Hashem's feet, so to speak, Kamaisir Livnas HaSapir, was a work of brickwork made of sapphire. Rashi explains on the Pasuk like there were bricks there representing the bricks that the Jewish people were enslaved with in Mitzrayim, Ocha'etzim HaShemayim HaTorah, and like the very heavens for purity. So we see that the color of the heavens is described as the color of sapphire. There's also an explanation, actually, that having sapphire in this connection reminds us of the luchas, which were engraved on, which are the luchas were made out of sapphire. So Uchtiv, and you also have Yechezkel, when he describes the Merkava, he describes Hashem's throne, Kemare Evan Sapir, Demus Kisei, he saw like the appearance of sapphire, the appearance of a throne. So therefore we see that the throne of Hashem is described as being like sapphire, so therefore Tchelas reminds us of that chain of things which brings us to remember Hashem. So this way, in other words, so we're wearing something which is a semblance of Hashem's throne, And therefore, we have a semblance of Hashem's throne on our clothing, and this way also, this way it goes together with what we said in the Kabbal Pnei Shechina, and this way Rashi also explains that elsewhere, that when Hashem sees, when Hashem, so to speak, looks at his Kisei HaKavod, that in turn reminds him of the mitzvah, and then he has more rachamim, more rachmanas on us Jewish people, that we're fulfilling that mitzvah. There's also an explanation, in other words, that the we're not saying straight that the tchelas resembles the Kisei HaKavod, because the person has to go with progression. When a person sees the tzitzit, it should first put him in mind of the sea, and that in return remind him of Kriyas Yamsuf. And any time a person sees the sea, immediately he should invoke in his mind an association with the sky. And immediately he sees the sky, it should evoke an association with the Kisei HaKavod. And Reb Meir continues, Tanya, we learn in another braisa, Hoyer Reb Meir Omer, Reb Meir used to say, Godol Oinshe Shalavan Yosim Oinshe Shotchelas. The punishment for a person not wearing white strings for tzitzis is greater than that for not wearing tchelas. We learned the other day, even though in principle, first of all, we're talking about if a person is wearing a four-cornered garment and doesn't put tzitzis on it, then there's a punishment, Minashamayim, but as we learned the other day also involving the Malach, And with Katina, there's even the fact of a person doesn't even bother to get a garment of four corners that's chayiv and tzitzis, and like the Malach accused of Katina, that you're going and finding various strategies to get out of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So now, Rav Meir says the punishment for failing to wear white strings is greater than that of the one who doesn't have tchelas. Because white strings are easy to get, whereas tchelas is not. In our times, we don't have tchelas, according to most opinions. But even in the times when it was available, it was very expensive and very hard to get. So he says, Moshal Amad Davadoma, what is this like? Lamelach Basav Adam, Shalmel Shnei Avadam. Picture a human king tells two of his servants, La'echad, he gives them instructions. La'echad Omer, Hobi Bichosim Shaltit. One of them, he says, bring me a stamp made out of clay. And in fact, Tosfos points out the metaphor, the analogy to a seal is very exact, actually, because the same way, for example, slaves in those days would wear a seal or a stamp around their neck or something, marking them as a slave of Pliny. The same way, when we have tzitzis on our clothing, it marks us as servants of Hashem. So the king tells him, go bring me a seal made out of clay. The other one, he says, bring me a seal made out of gold. Both of them got careless and they didn't bother bringing. Which one is going to get the harsher punishment? Obviously the one where the king told him, bring me the clay one, and he didn't bother, because clay is so easy to get. Why didn't you bother listening? The gold one, mainly, you couldn't find gold. So the same way, in other words, white is strings are so much easier to get than tchelas, and therefore a person fails to put tchelas, then Reb Meir is saying that it's not so bad. He has a certain excuse, but if he doesn't put on white strings when he's supposed to, then there's no excuse. It's so easy to get the white strings, and he is supposed to be doing that. Okay. So,